Okay, I want to talk about the realms of the Spirit. I had something else to talk about, the realm of miracles, but just as Vaughan was speaking, I was going like crazy on the computer just looking up scriptures and stuff. Some of the stuff I may have, you've heard me mention before. Some of it you haven't, but it's good to hear these things and to see these things quite regularly, because we are people of the Spirit, and the miracle realms, the healing realms, the river of God, they're all realms of the Holy Ghost that are here all around us. And if our eyes were open to the realm of the Spirit now, we would see those dimensions of God. We'd see the realms of glory. We'd see the anointings. We'd see the power of God. I mean, I know this because I've been there. First 2-3 years of my ministry of seeking God, God took me into all these realms, and something I'm still learning about even now. And he would just take me into those realms, and I began to see very clearly. I understood when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's in you. It's all around you. That's what it means. And it is there. But we get so used to this world. We get so used to moving in our flesh, and the enemy tries to make sure that to dampen us. He doesn't mind if we love God, but if he can stop our effectiveness, if he can stop our creativity and our hunger for God, then he's really got us, you know, because we're not going to get many people one to the kingdom if we're bogged down ourselves. But this realm is for everybody, and it's unfortunate that so few actually get there. And the ones that get there are called crazy and mad, and some unfortunately are, because they don't know how to handle it right. You know, I mean, it was the same people who used to come to me in church life, in many churches I've started over the years, who would say, oh, I saw angels today in the church. They were just above your head. And, you know, and then when they'd go home, I'd search the church rafters everywhere. I couldn't see the jolly things. And so I think they've had just a bit too much pizza. I don't see any angels around the place. But then the same people would prophesy something that would come to pass. And you think to yourself, oh, God, it'd be nice if sensible, normal people who got their act together could just move in the realms of the Spirit. But they're usually the cautious type who aren't prepared to do that. They don't mind learning to move in the love of God and things like that. But in the things that we're really supposed to move in as well as that, the love is the most important, but it's to move in the realms of the Spirit. And people come out week after week to watch me doing it and think, wow, that's so fascinating. But by now, you should have all have got it. 9 months, goodness. And I'm not belittling you at all. We should all be moving right into it. So I just want to inspire you again tonight, moving in the realms of the Spirit. You see, there are realms of healings. There are realms of miracles. And once we enter into those realms, it'll be okay. Perfect example tonight. Why can Vaughan just get up here? Obviously, he's the essential ministry of a prophet. But why can he just move into that straight away and bring a lot of people through? If you listen and just follow the Spirit and the faith, you'll be able to move in those realms of prophecy, because at some point in his life, he entered into those realms. Sure, it was a call, but somewhere back there, maybe around Ruth Heflin time, he was exposed to it, he lived under it, his call was like that. But at some point, he just moved into it, and it might have been difficult at the beginning or a bit, well, this is moving into unknown territory. But he's in that realm now. He doesn't have to fast and pray to go and teach 500 pastors on realms of prophecy. I've got no doubt he could probably stand up before a TV audience of millions of people watching him and just prophesy very accurately if anybody's in the meeting. Maybe give prophecies over people watching on webcam, whatever, because he's entered into that realm. And the more that you give yourself to that realm, the more maturity and the greater the dimension of power becomes in that realm. And it's the same with anything else. It's the same with healing or moving in the Holy Ghost, you know. I've entered into that realm, therefore it is so easy for me to move into it. It really, really is. It's no effort for me. Come out of here, man. Pick on people who I know who are real, who just won't do things for show. It's every helper out here. Now, I feel absolutely diddly squat at the moment. Better have a helper here in a minute. Come on, where are you? Thank you, Jerry. Now, you just open yourself to God. But you see me just before every now and again, but it's realms. Because I've moved in this realm, what I'm about to do, I'm not in it at the moment, but I know how to get into it. Why? Because I came into it many years ago, and fasting and prayer, I haven't perfected it. I want to grow a lot stronger in it to the point where I can get people out of wheelchairs. I've done that from time to time, seen totally severed spines nerves, everything come back together and people are walking. It's impossible for them to walk. I've seen all that, but only from time to time. But the realm of the Holy Ghost, like born with the prophetic, I can move into the realm of the Holy Ghost. And I've got no problem with it whatsoever. And it's just a matter of focusing. Right now, I'm just starting to focus. I'm talking to you. But in my spirit, you just lift your hands and close your eyes. Don't be conscious of me. Just Jesus. And I'm just in that realm right now. And it's not just for practice. I'm doing it this way, but the reality is he's going to get really zapped by God in a minute, because as I'm talking, I've swam out there in the realm of the Spirit, and now the wave is coming towards me, and I'm getting on my spiritual surfboard now. I'm going to hit him with that wave. It's simple. So I'm just practicing. I'm not practicing. I'm stirring it up in my spirit. I don't even know if I'm stirring it up. It's just I'm trying to slow it down because I'm so used to it. I'm used to this realm. Now I really do feel that realm. I feel the anointing for it. And whether I lay my hands upon him, and now what I'm starting to feel, as soon as I do that, I start to feel the glory cloud start to come. And then I put it into him. Now, you can, if you think that's fake, just ask him later. Say, what happened? If he says, I felt intimidated, well, don't come back to my meetings. I'm a fake. But if he says to you, hey, something happened when he laid his hands on me, man. I felt it. Well, just shut your mouth and learn and grow in it. It's simple. And so these realms are easy. Now, we can operate these realms out on the street. You can operate these realms out in the marketplace. It's just producing that environment within yourself to do that, because the power of God's coming up within you. So what's the difference whether they've been in church or out there? Are you telling us you've seen this work on the unsaved? Yes, I have. I've seen many unsaved people hit the deck and all this sort of stuff. And it's usually when you've been talking to them for a while and you're in that environment of the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, we've got to learn to move into these realms. So I can move into that realm very, very easily. I can move into the healing realm, but not quite as strong, because I've never given myself fully to the healing realm. But for a couple of years, I did do. All I did was listen to Benny Hinn and any healing minister I could get a hold of, and I just centered on healing. All my worship was healings. And for 2 years, they called me the Benny Hinn of Australia. I didn't call myself that. I had so many miracles and healings consistently, they called me the Benny Hinn of Australia. And so, because he sees a lot of miracles, and I would see miracles all the time. I'm talking about unmistakable, undeniable miracles confirmed by doctor specialists, from cancers to all sorts of stuff. But I was having to give myself to that realm. Now, if I give myself to that realm now, it won't take me long to get back in there, because I've already got it in me, but I've let it die down, because it's a hard realm to move in, because you've got to consistently go for it. You can't preach on this, and you can't preach on that, and you can't preach on anything else but healing if you want to see consistent healings. Just that, for me, that's just the way it goes. And so, but just to move in the Holy Ghost and give that river of God to people, I can do it any time of day or night. I could be fast asleep, you could lay my hand on you, it will just start to operate through you from me, because I've given myself to that realm more so than any other realms. So the realm, but you can also give yourself to the realm of miracles, where you see creative miracles. You got to push in hard to God and pursue love, but earnestly desire those gifts. As you're pushing in and pursuing those gifts, pursuing love and pushing in for those gifts, you keep hungering and hungering. Before long, you'll start to see creative miracles. Organs put back in people's bodies that were not there. Arms starting to grow. Just miracles on the spot, healings, bang, undeniable miracles. And once you move into that, then you keep there by doing whatever you did to get in there. but it's more thanking him and having the faith for it. And these things are just as real about learning the doctrines of the Word of God. They're just as real as feeding the poor. They're just as real as fixing somebody's car. Those things are important. But this is just as important, but in the realm of the Spirit. You can go into missions work and do great things for God and just do, help with painting, whatever else. They're all good things to do. But, you know, if that's all you do, you might as well join the salvos. That's no disrespect to anybody here. We're just plain just doing good works. What's the point of that? That is the point, but we also can be doing that, but healing the sick and moving in signs and wonders as we're doing that. It's not one or the other, it's both. So, well, I only want one. Well, you're missing out what God wants. It's not a heaven or hell issue, but God, he's made people say, whoa, what a great man Billy Graham is. Yes, but how much greater would he have been if he'd have opened himself up to the Holy Ghost and signs and wonders? He only preached half the gospel, because Romans clearly tells us in Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 17, that the preaching of the full gospel is signs, wonders, and miracles, as well as teaching and preaching the word. And so that's not a knock on anybody's ministry. Any man or woman of God that does not leave room for signs, wonders, and miracles are true men and women of God, but they're only half preaching the gospel. Don't argue with me about it. Look at the word of God. It tells you there. Many scriptures, actually, but clearly, very clearly in Romans 15, 17, which is what Kingsfire mission statement is. That's how convinced we are about it. All right. And so we just have a look. We've got to get into the realm of the Spirit. You see, the realm of the Holy Ghost should be just as real as this realm to us. But we get so tied up in this world. It doesn't mean we have to be perfect to move into that realm either. It's a matter of giving ourselves to it. I think William Brennan put it the best way. It's like a wall that's just above your head, and you grab your hands and you lift yourself over the wall and you take a peek into the realm of the Spirit. That's what I do. Every time I move into the realm of the Spirit, you feel that barrier of the flesh there. So in your heart, you just pick yourself up over the wall and bang, you start to see in the Spirit. And if your soul isn't filled with flesh, and if it's not filled with whatever in your heart or bitterness, whatever, the more clean we are before God in our soul and in our spirit and in our mind, the more clearly we'll see in the realm of the Spirit. Because it's the flesh that only, sometimes I move into the realms of the Spirit and everything's hazy. I can see it, but not quite clear. And the Lord will say, well, you got that unrepentance in your heart. You've done this, you've done that. You've said this about that person. You've done a bit of gossiping here. Just repent right now. And as I do, what I'm looking at becomes more and more clear. And if I keep looking at that, whatever he's showing me in the Spirit, it becomes so clear as I get my heart cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Now, it took me quite a while to get into that, admittedly, but it's so real. While all my college friends were heavily studying the Word of God that I'm all for, because I studied probably more than anybody in Bible school, yet failed because I didn't study theology. I studied the ways of the Spirit in the Bible, and I'm so glad I did, and I'll never recant on that, because God gave me something, and I really believe I studied to show myself approved very, very powerfully, and I've done that for many years now. I've never been the sort of guy like Vaughan and the others who've read the Bible from back to front. I usually get to 2 Chronicles and forget it once it gets to all those names. I bypass a few chapters and think, oh, that's ridiculous. But I reckon I've read the Bible many times. But I haven't read it methodically. I can't do things methodically. Start at Genesis. I'd rather read 5 chapters of Genesis than go to Thessalonians, then back to Micah, then over to Revelations, then back to Exodus. And it's more fun for me. So I can't just get something and go straight. I can't even read the book of Ephesians all the way through. It bores me to tears. But if I read 2 chapters of Ephesians, then 3 chapters of Philippians, then back to... That's just the way I do it. And I get more out of it if I've got the Bible on tape, on the message. Somebody gave me it. It was good. Whole set. So I listen to it in my car. I get more out of listening to the word than I do reading. I'm not a reader. I wouldn't have read one book in my life. When I was in high school and primary school, I always got the top for essays. Always got A+. And I never read a book in my life. What I used to do is read the first page, the middle page, the last page, look at all the subheadings and then just make up a story out of it and hoped I was on the same line of what the book was saying. And all my friends would study days and days and days and days and days, and I would take an hour and get A+, and they'd get their C's. They hated me for that. Because I just couldn't be bothered. What was the point of reading the whole book? I couldn't stand it. Yet other people love all that sort of stuff. I hate reading magazines. I can't stand it. And I'll read something on the healing power of God, 3 or 4 pages. Then I'll just look at all the highlights, whatever the pictures of Benny Hinn or somebody. Yeah, that looks like a good point. That's just me. I'm not disciplined in that area. You probably are. Well, keep your discipline and go for it. But I'm very, very disciplined when it comes to prayer, waiting on God and seeking those realms of the Spirit. Why? Because that's what interests me. The Word of God to me keeps me on the straight and narrow with what I see there. I've never been one to read the Word and get it. I get it in the Spirit. Then I search the Scripture to see if I can see it in there. And if I can't see it in there, I put it on the shelf until I do see it in the Bible. And that's just the way it works for me. You've got to work at your own salvation, how it works for you. But anyhow, in Genesis 5, verse 21, I think it's an amazing thing of Enoch, you know. This man, fascinating, it's absolutely fascinating story of this man Enoch in Genesis 5, verse 21. It says, and when Enoch had lived 65 years, He became the father of Methuselah. Goodness me, still having kids at 65. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. God's, how many years these guys live? That's amazing. Think about that. Enoch walked with God, which means literally walked with God, not in the spirit, but literally walked with God for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. That is fascinating. 300 years, God would show up. Enoch would probably just walking down, just imagine he had a nice farmhouse, whatever, in a nice river, and he'd be just walking down the riverside and, you know, beautiful bushland or woodlands all around, and, you know, and then God would just come out of his world, out of his dimension, the realm of the spirit, or as Vaughan was saying, Yongi Cho says in his book, The Fourth Dimension, that's the realm of the spirit. God would come and physically walk with Enoch. And you might say, well, how's that possible? Well, God's God, he can do what he likes to start with. And secondly, God is not just a force or power. He's a person. Who does God look like? He looks like you and me because we were created in his likeness, in his image. So God in shape is just like us, except he's pure, 100% spirit. We're not. We have a spirit, but we have a soul also. We live in a body. But the thing is this, that here is this Enoch who walks with God for 300 years. And that's not all he does. He's still having sons and daughters. In other words, he's still having relations with his wife. He's still having some sort of normality in his life. But for many, we don't know for how long. But I obviously, every day God would come and just come from his realm, whether the heavens opened or God just walked into his, oh, how are you going, God, today? Wonderful. How's life, Enoch? Ah, it's a bit sucks today, but it's okay. That's if Enoch was Australian. If he's American, probably say, you know, how's it going, man, or something? I don't know what you say over here. But, you know, but he walks with this man. And then God says, oh, that's good. Thank you for talking with me. And then just disappeared and walked back into his realm. The realm of the spirit, God's realm, the realm that he created. And this was pretty cool. This wasn't some spiritual vision that Enoch was having daily. God was literally coming and manifesting himself to him and did this for 300 years. I find that fascinating. In other words, the whole of his life, the first 65 years, didn't seem to have much, but he must have been a righteous man for God to even want to show up and spend time with him. It wasn't just for a couple of days. I mean, some people I've heard have had the audible voice of God speak to them. I've heard his audible voice in my spirit, but I've never heard it with these ears. But a lot of people have. Who's heard the audible voice of God here? Yeah, a couple, yeah. I've never had that privilege, but I've heard it just like a voice speaking to me on the inside, which is just as real. But anyhow, 300 years, that's what fascinates me about this man. And then God loved him so much as he was no more because God took him away. See, the realm of the spirit after 300 years, God coming into his natural world would have been fascinating. And God loved Enoch so much after 300 years. There's no time or distance in the realm of the spirit. So there's nothing to God. But for Enoch's time, which God was walking into every day, was 300 years go by. And God says to Enoch one day, well, normally at this point, I just say goodbye, see you tomorrow. But you know something? I really like you. I don't only love you, not only my child. I like you. I like your company. In fact, I like it so much, you ain't going home. You're coming with me. And I could just imagine God holding the hand of Enoch and just, boom, walking in back into heaven. And so Enoch finds himself, takes one step in from this life into his eternal life, and there he is with God in God's realm. Bible doesn't say he went back and said goodbye to his wife, his kids, his grandkids, his life, whatever. He was so taken up with God by this stage, he loved them but couldn't give a hoot, really. He is with God. I'm telling you now, if God came to you tomorrow and you were walking for a walk out in the woods and he physically came to you and said, oh, I like you so much, I want to take you into my world, I don't think you'd be saying, well, let me just go back and say goodbye to mum and dad. You'd be so captivated, the king of the whole universe is walking with you, you'd be so captivated with his power and love, you'd just say, yeah, wow, I'm walking into that realm. And the next second, all your friends and family who've lived another 30, 40, 50 years are died and up there with you. But to you, it was just like a second because there's no realm, there's no time in the spirit realm. What do you think the Bible says? Just to give us a glimpse of what God is like, Peter says, well, you know, a day is like a thousand years to us is like a day gone by to God. Saying that a thousand years is a long time, man. What's that, 10 generations? But to God, it's just like a day's gone by. So that makes sense now when the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, 2,000 years ago, 2,009 years ago actually, he says, you know, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. We think, if that was the last days back there, what are we in now? We're in the last of the last of the last days. But you've got to understand something. When God said that through his prophet, and when Peter was emphasizing what the prophet Joel had said 2,000 years ago, only 2 days have gone by and got God's time calendar. So he's scratching his head like this saying, what are these humans worried about? We're trying to work out the last days. They started 2,000 years ago. What are they on about? Jesus only started 2 days ago. What's the matter with them? See, when we look at it from God's perspective, time means nothing. And when I go into the realm of the spirit, friends, and I've been there many, many times, time stops just like that. And I only know that because I always, when I used to go into God's presence, I still do this. When I seek him in those dimensions, I look at my watch. And I remember once I got on my knees at, what was it? I remember timing it. It was 2 o'clock on the afternoon. And then all of a sudden, I was in the realm of glory and I was with God. He was showing me stuff in heaven. And then I was conscious then, I was still on my knees. A day and a half later, I looked at my clock and it was 2:30 in the morning the following day. So it means a whole day, well, almost 2 days. And my mind was all confused, not with what being in heaven, but it was confused. Where am I? I don't understand. Everybody is worried about me. I'm amazed no one came to check me. I was in Bible school. I've missed out all the lectures. It must have been a Thursday. I missed out all the lectures on the Friday. And now Saturday morning, Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now Friday, Saturday morning, 2 a.m. I'm just getting up off my knees. And my blood wasn't circulating properly. I'm thinking, where's that time gone? I could have swore I was only up in heaven. It felt like a few seconds. I was with him for 2 days almost. Yet I still can't figure it out to this day, but it's true. As God's my witness, it's true. And so, but every time, that's why people say, how could you have waited on God? How can you wait on God for 3 hours straight? You don't understand. When I got into his realm, I honestly felt like 2 minutes had gone by. It didn't seem like 3 hours at all. It wasn't waiting every hour. Oh, God, oh, no. Another 2 hours to go. You got to be kidding me. Never was like that. It was just worship tape on. Either on my knees, or a lot of times I didn't like getting on my knees, so I just lay across my bed with my back against the wall. I'd just start gently speaking in tongues, wait for that presence of God to fill my soul and fill the room. Then I'd hear this clear voice say, wait. And so I'd just shut up and just wait. And I'd follow this glory cloud that's never left me to this day. I'd just follow this glory cloud. I used to see this glorified cross come out of heaven into a huge black valley, and it would come in glory, this cross, speaking of the victorious Christ, and bang, embed itself in the dirt and the mud, then start to move itself. And wherever it went through this darkness left glory trails of pure glory and power, bringing glory into darkened people's lives. And I'd follow that round for hours, fascinated with this. That's how God used to come to me all the time. And then I'd think, that's pretty good. Then he'd give me some other aspect and some other aspect and some other aspect. And before long, hours and hours would go by, you know. And then in the end, to go 13 to 15 hours straight with God was an absolute delight. It was no problem whatsoever. And it's not so much on me in these days, but you know something? Because I've tried it quite a few times over the last couple of months. If I just begin to wait on God, immediately after 10 minutes, I'm back in that realm. just like that. Because I've trained, whatever you call it, I've just moved into that realm. And although I might not use and visit that realm as frequently as I once did, I know it's still there. Because I can feel it. It's like I have all these doors in the spirit, and so do you. Whatever doors that you've knocked down or broken through into those realms, it's there, born in the realm of the prophet. Whatever realm it might be in, and you've broken through, so keep on growing in that, but also break through in other dimensions. Break through the doors of the gifts of the Spirit. Break through to the realm of miracles. Break through into the gift of faith. Break through into the gift of healings. Break through into the gifts of prophecy, interpretation of tongues and tongues. Break through into those realms. Don't just limit yourself to one. They are doors, and you can't just open and say, please, Jesus, let me in. You've got to pursue love, but you've got to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. That means you've got to get a bit of clout about you. Yeah, got to be willing to do a bit of fasting and push. And you can't. I'm not talking about making the gift happen. I'm talking about getting in through those doors, because those doors often are satanic and fleshly barriers. And you just got to keep ramming them and rang them. And one day they'll break. And when they break, you'll know, because you'll be moving in whatever you were praying for. It's the way it works. It's not complicated at all. We've complicated it because we haven't taught it right from the platform and the gifts of the Spirit. We've made it all spooky. We've made it all just for the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And by and large, we've been, I'm not talking about here, by and large around the world, you've got a lot of people frustrated in the body of Christ because there's not many know how to bring people into what they have found in God. And Jesus is very, very clear in Matthew chapter 9 that we're supposed to teach, preach, heal, moving healing power and do that with compassion. And then it says, and then they'll pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he'll send out laborers into his harvest field. He's wanted to send trained laborers. So you know what Sunday morning church is all about to me, really? Or any public meeting, really? It's about demonstrating the power of God, preaching the word of God, worship, but demonstrating the power of God in such a way where people are getting healed and set free and water baptized and hit by the power of God, but doing it in such a way where you are also training people how they can do that very same thing out there in their world during the week. And that takes an art and a gift to be able to do that, and a grace from God, which not too many have it on them. And so, but that is what we've got to attain for. If you want apostolic Christianity and a revival spirit, that's what it's all about. It's that ability to teach and preach, but do it in such a way where people are learning and people are growing, but you're doing it in such a way where they're saying, yeah, well, I'll go and do that during the week, just what I've learned. Yeah, I saw the way they moved in the Spirit. I saw the way Born prophesies. I see the way Steve gets that worship going, or whatever, that word of knowledge gift going, laying hands, and they're instructing us how to do this. I'm going to put that into practice during the week. Sundays is a great battery charger. All getting charged up for ministry during the week. But to do that, we've got to break that horrible spirit called church. Church is a wonderful word. It means the gathering of God's people. But it's become a religious word where people think they can just come, sing the nice little songs. Praise God. Then the pastor gets up and says, well, you know, ooh, the Holy Spirit's wanting to break in the meeting. Isn't it a pity we've got to move on with our meeting now? What's there to move on to if the Holy Ghost is wanting to break into a meeting? That's it. End of service. I've had singers, I've had ministers frustrated with me over the years because I've invited people, I've flown them in at my own expense, and then we begin to lead worship and I can feel the Holy Ghost. And half the time I'm saying, not tonight, Holy Ghost, not this morning. We've got a guest speaker, please. Because I know what the Holy Ghost will do. If I start to hear him, there's no time for the speaker. There's no time for the darling check that I've just invited to my church to sing, which I did one time in Australia. Sorry, you can't sing. I think I ended up putting for one song at the end. But I whispered to them, I'll still give you a good love offering, because that's really all they're worried about. I'll give you a good love offering. Sarcasm, but true, unfortunately. And you can understand why, if that's their living. And I don't do it deliberately. There's never been anything in my heart that said, I'll show you who's boss. I'm not like that. If the Holy Ghost doesn't come on me, you won't even hear boo from me, actually. But if I'm leading a meeting, it's there. And then if the Holy Spirit leads that way, which he doesn't do all the time, sometimes he says, I want you to see that. And he's not even using me half the time. I'm just being the coordinator. I believe church life in the Holy Ghost is like an orchestra leader. I'm up there, and there's all those people sitting there, and I'm orchestrating them into the gifts, into the power, into whatever God's wanting to do. And you might not be using me, but all I am is the orchestra leader. I'm not organizing the whole thing. I'm just orchestra leading, you know. And that's what it's all about. It's not the church or revival organized or disorganized. It's the church orchestrated. You can try and organize a revival, you're finished. You can think, well, we don't need any organization at all, and you'll be finished. But it's the revival. It's the work of God. It's the apostolic Christianity orchestrated. And if we see that, then we're just the choir leaders. That's it. We're just the instrumental leaders, hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying and bring it through to the people. And the people will know it's God, because if you're hearing from God, it brings a greater release of the anointing in a place. That's why it's so important tonight that all you people agree with God and in your heart say, however you want to use me tonight, Lord, I'm open. And you can be debating and saying, well, I don't really want to get up and say that I'm a bit nervous of that prophecy. Or I don't want to give that word of knowledge because what if I'm wrong? But every time you're hearing from God and you're disobeying, you're lessening the glory of God in the building. You talk about the corporate anointing. What do you think the corporate anointing is? Just an anointing that comes through every one of us and sits around a little bit. But the corporate anointing, half the time I don't even like the corporate anointing because it's a waste of time. Because the corporate anointing is meaning that the Lord's wanting to break through corporately through using different ones to bring what they've got. And as they're each given their part, the glory of God's increasing. So if you want the glory of God to increase, obey the Holy Spirit, and for God's sake, do what he tells you to do. And it's wise, you know, to check it with leadership, whoever's leading the meeting, and just say, look, I've got this, is that all right? That's not being dominated by a man. That is, that's rubbish. That's just being in submission to a leader of a meeting. I don't care how great my gift is. If I'm not leading a meeting, and say I'm here and Vaughan's leading, but I've really got something strong. Now, I work very closely with Vaughan, but there's no way I would just get up and say, excuse me, Vaughan, I want to do something here. Wouldn't do that. I would get up and say, Vaughan, is it okay to do that? Which I know he would just say, you don't have to ask me. But maybe I don't have to ask him, but I do. Because it's not my house. You've got to have respect for who's leading a meeting. Now, if it's your house and you're the leader of that house and the worship band's going, well, I always work out. I told Bob and the other guys, look, you lead it, but if ever I get up there to play a different song from right up there with you and I want to change it, don't you question it. Don't you show a funny face from the platform that I'm interfering with your meeting. Because I'm the worship leader, guys. The Holy Ghost is telling me to do something, I'll do it. And so I train my team that way so they know. But I don't do it unless I really feel an unction to do it in the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes the meeting just ain't cutting it. It is to them, but it's not to me. And I can feel that the atmosphere is not there of the revival, because that's what I'm going for. And if it ain't there, and I know how to get it in there, well, I'll interfere. Now, they're fine. I've had no problems at all with that. But the thing is, you've got to have that confidence. But, you know, when you're here, you're covered here. We're saying we want you to be released. You don't have to sit there trying to make something up. But please, whether it's to read a scripture, you might be sitting there and just getting the scripture on your heart to read. You know, what's that got to do with anything? It just might be the very thing that will start to release an anointing. Now, it works on Sundays when I do it. Like the Holy Ghost just said to me, it's only happened to me, I believe, once or twice in my old 28 years of ministry, where he just said, look at people. I said, get them to look at you right in the eye. And I could feel the fire of God in my eyes and my spirit. And everyone was looking at it, just falling down. And they were laughing and all that sort of thing. People say, well, that's, if it's normal, well, you get up and try and do it. It's not that easy. But I was being led by the Spirit, so it is easy. And it was releasing more and more of the anointing. I'm not up here thinking, I wonder what else I can do that's new tonight, Lord. What rabbit can I pull out the hat tonight? Gosh, I've tried the water. I've stood out there and God's own's come out of me. People have fallen down. Boy, I've been here 9 months now. What else can I think of? I honestly don't even comes across my mind. Never comes across my mind. All I think about is, Jesus, how can you be lifted up in this meeting? And what do you want, Holy Ghost? That's all I'm thinking of. That's all I'm thinking. Truthfully, that's all I'm thinking of. And I've learned to be very relaxed about the whole thing. years ago, I was a very intense guy. And it's very hard to move in the spirit if you're going to be intense. You've got to be relaxed. You've got to release. It's easy to move in the realms of the anointing. See, Vaughn could get up here now. And if I said to Vaughn, would you mind getting up here now, Vaughn, and prostrating everybody here? I'm telling you now, he would have an accurate word for every one of you. He wouldn't even break a sweat over it, because that's his ministry gift. And what does he do? He's not making it up. He just moves into that realm and it's there. Boom. And if there's 500 people, he would just keep going and going and going until it'd be up to him to say to God, I've had enough. I'm tired now, God. Because it seems the spirit of the prophet's subject to him. If he's had enough, well, he's had enough. And God will cooperate with that. Okay, that's fair enough. And that's not disobedience. It's just God working with man. You know, and so we've got to understand these things about God and his realm. Realms, you know, and because some people used to say to me a lot, why did you cut the meeting? Or there was such an anointing there. Just felt to. That's all there is to it. If you felt to keep it going, go for your life, you know. But people ask silly things, really, and I don't know what they think. It's not revival unless you go to midnight every night, and you know. And sometimes it might go late, but it doesn't need to. And we've got to understand these things if we're going to go anywhere with God. So this man walked with God. Look at 1 Samuel 10:15. These are just things to inspire us. Then I'm going to just let you guys be released. But I want you to keep in mind, it's not about you, friends. It's about you obeying God to release his presence in this place. It will thicken. I don't care how much anointing is in here. You will feel it more and sense it more. And more faith will arise the more you obey God. And if just one of you gets out of order with the spirit and you say, I'm not going to, or, oh, I'm going to make something happen because I want to be seen on webcam, something stupid like that. You know, that can dampen it too. But all we got to do is relax. And if you're a little bit wrong, who cares? No one's going to clamp on you for being a bit wrong. It's only when we see that you can completely be off the meeting and completely turn it the other direction that's not really right. That's the only time someone will jump up and say, hey, keep it in line. But basically, you don't have to fear. You're not going to get it 100% right all the time. But I'll tell you what, even if you're 20%, 30% right, God will honor it. I mean, if you're talking some crazy thing that the devil's going to be saved in the end times, I mean, he's not going to honor that, because that's just complete heresy. He's got to line up with his word. If you start talking about angels appear to you who look like women with boobs or something, when there's neither male nor female in heaven, then obviously, and I don't know what you're seeing, but you're not seeing something from the realm of the spirit, from God. I've seen angels, they don't look like women. I don't even think they look like men. They're hard to describe. But they certainly don't look like little wimpy angels running around the place. Especially the warring angels. I saw a warring angel once. I thought, my God, he looked a pretty fierce sort of guy. You wouldn't want to mess with him. I'm sure it was Michael I saw, the archangel. Can't say that for sure because he never told me his name. But he was a big dude. He's about 50 foot tall. And you wouldn't want to mess with him. Looked like a bit of a gladiator, actually. Sense of a sword. And I wonder why they have swords in the realm of the spirit. Who knows? But he did. But 1 Samuel 10:5. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you'll meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high places with lyres, tambourines, flutes, harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power. You'll prophesy with them and you'll be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, you can do whatever you want or what your hands finds to do, for God is with you. You see, listen, friends, Saul walked what I term into the God zone. He just walked straight into it. He wasn't a prophet. Because of that incident, they all thought he was a prophet. But he was obeying Samuel. He came to the company of the prophets. And the glory of God was on those prophets as they were all corporately prophesying and giving praise to God. It was so powerful all around them that when Saul just came, probably within a few feet of them, he immediately began to prophesy because he walked into the God zone. He walked into the realm of God because his prophets were prophesying. And you see, this is often what happens too. Saul walked right into the realm of the Spirit. And often that will come through the man or woman's ministry that you're sitting under. Or as the prophet begins to talk, you should be able to easily prophesy because you're covered, it's coming onto you. But you can also receive an impartation from it. Me and Vaughan do a lot of talking about this from time to time. that, you know, I don't think anybody, I don't think I can ever impart my mantle to anybody here, or I can't give you what I've got fully, because that would be ridiculous, because that means you'd have to pay the price I paid, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone here. Through the mistakes, through the successes, through the bad times, the good times, has made me what I am today. And if I was to impart what I had to you, then logical thing for that would be, well, if I impart everything I've got on my life to you, that means you're going to go through the same sort of stuff. And I don't think a lot of you could handle that, actually, because it's a horrible thing, because your biggest accusers will be those in the body of Christ, and it's horrible. But what I can do is I can impart to you. I can trigger off and impart something of my of the anointing into your life, an impartation from the Spirit gear. I think that's one of my strong keys, is to be able to impart through the laying on of hands to people. But it's really triggering off what's already inside of you. And it may help you to get into the realms of the Spirit, but all I'm doing is activating what God's already put in you. I don't believe anybody can just come up and impart their mantle to them. How could I give you my mantle? The only way that could happen is that means I'm dead. Because if it leaves me and goes to you, well, then what have I got? Go back to being a shoe or car salesman or something. So a lot of terms we use are just not quite correct. When a man dies, can a mantle in the spirit realm hang around and hit someone else? Yes, I believe it can. But that's when the man's dead. Remember Elijah, when he imparted his mantle to Elisha, that ended up being double, it was after he'd gone. Can't possibly receive a man's mantle. And I don't believe any man of God has got any power to give you everything that he has. He might say that out of passion and love for you in his heart. Oh, God, just give me everything I've got. And it's really him saying, God, whatever I can possibly give them to help this person, give it to them. And God can do that. He does it all the time. But the ultimate thing is you can't go around saying, well, I've met some guys. I've got Benny Hinn's mantle. I have you. I didn't realize he died. What do you mean? Look, you don't know what you're talking about. If you received an impartation, wonderful. I believe that. But, you know, sometimes we just carry on with stuff, and we just got to get our terms right. The realm of the Spirit is so real, but let's be real with it. Anyway, what about Romans 4:17? I've made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That's powerful. That's moving into the realm of the Spirit. Calling things that are not as though they were. You get something in the Spirit of God because you've moved into his realm. He put something on your spirit and you begin to declare something over your church or over your business or over your job or over your life. And you see something in God that yet hasn't happened, hasn't come to fruition yet, but it's just as real as if it was there. This is what Abraham was into. I'll give you the father, I'll make you the father of many nations, the God who gives life to the dead, calls things that are not as though they were. And one more. And I shut up my mouth. Acts 14, verse 8. In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and never walked. He listened to Paul as Paul was speaking. Obviously he's speaking the word of God, Paul. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at once the man jumped up and began to walk. How do you see faith? What does it mean? Paul is preaching away, and out in the audience there, he's preaching on the gospel. He's probably preaching Jesus saves, heals, delivers, whatever he's preaching on. The man's listening, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Paul looks directly at this man and seeing he had faith. Did the man have a big smile on his face saying, "I got faith, I got faith"? Did he write a placard on himself and, "Me got faith"? No. Paul was used to being in the realm of the Spirit. And as he was preaching, he looked at the man and just saw that he had faith. How do you see faith? He looked past his emotions, straight through his eyes, straight through his body, into his spirit, and saw that faith was arising. You can see what's happening, what God's putting onto people. That's why I know who to call out in meetings, because I see this light come over them, into their spirit. It's not that, oh, they look, I'll just call them out because they look like they want it. No, I endeavor. I'm not saying I get it right every time, but most times I do. I say, you come here. Oh, I see the anointing on that row over there. Would you come? I'm not just making up words to entertain. I'm actually seeing the anointing on those people. I say, oh, well, you must see that anointing on those people a lot. We see them a lot over 9 months. Well, if you jolly well get off your backsides and bring more people here, you'd probably find it happening with more people. But if we ain't going to, sorry, that's a bit rude, but if you're not going to bring people in here, I'm not going to stop the flow of God. So some of you are going to get it 20, 30, 50 times when you probably should have only got it 5 times. I don't know. I ain't going to stop no flow just because you aren't bringing people in. It's your real problem with God. While you're hungry for a revival, I'm here. Stop hungering for it. Goodbye. As much as I love you. I'll go to Donald Duck Creek and minister to people who are hungry there. If there is such a place as Donald Duck Creek. But anyhow, he saw that he had faith to be healed. You got to be, I tell you, if you want to move in these realms, you got to be as bold as a lion and you've got to almost, you've got to watch arrogance, you've got to walk in humility, but you've almost, you'll have to be prepared for people to think you're arrogant, because to walk in this realm, you've got to have exactly that bang, resolutely set your face to it, and that's it. And you can't let anything budge you. Honestly, I could get the greatest men of God in the world all come to me and say, God's told them to tell me that I should no longer lay hands on people and all that falling down is not real. And without even flickering in my spirit one bit, I look at them all and say, God bless you all, brothers. You're hearing from devil. See you later. And I wouldn't care who they were, because I've had such an encounter with God and I've seen hundreds and hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people's lives change. But what about the ones you haven't seen change? Well, what about the ones you witnessed to and didn't come to Jesus? Does that mean it's not real? No. Of course I'm going to lay hands on some people and they're going to get a great touch and not go on with it. I'm not God. I can't make them. But my job is to open up people to encounters with God. And nobody will ever be able to convince me. I can tell you, I'm not just trying to denote myself. No one will ever convince me. No one. Benny Hinn himself. God wouldn't come to me because he put it on me. I said, well, that's been unteachable. No, it's not. It's a proven thing over 31 years and 28 of them full time. I've seen it change to me, like change my life dramatically through someone laying their hand on me and bang, getting impartation from God. Can't convince me that it's wrong. And I've never doubted it once. I've doubted me lots of times, but I've never doubted that once. And I'm telling you, whatever gift you are, you have to be just like that. Whatever you feel called to, whether people like, well, how can you have a teachable spirit in that? Well, who am I teachable? Notice the friends I'm teachable to are men of the Holy Ghost. I listen to what Vaughan has to say to me. He's a prophet, but he's a man of the Holy Ghost. He's a man of the Spirit. I listen to what Rodney Howard Brown has to say to me because he's a revivalist. I listen to what Roy Fields has to say to me. I had a good chat to him yesterday. Why? Because he's a revivalist, a young one, but he's a revivalist. And he's on the cutting edge, and the world's opening up to him more and more. I listen to Tim Hall, who you don't know, but I'm sure you'll meet him. He wants to come and preach at Newburgh next year, and he'll also come here too if Vaughan wants him. I'm sure he will. Vaughan's met him. He's a great man of God. He's in the caliber of Al Roberts and Benny Hinn and all these guys and Rodney Howard Brown. He does crusades with hundreds of thousands of people showing up and sees 40, 50,000 a night come to Christ. And he'll also go to churches, small churches. He's a very humble guy, actually. And he's one of my mentors, been great friends with him for over 30 years. He, to me, is like probably Phil Smithers is to... And what was the great joy in my heart that Rodney was issuing doctorates for people who had proven ministry for over 20 years. And it was amazing that out of the three men that were standing at the front to receive their honorary doctorates, that one was Phil Smithers, his best friend, and the other one was my best friend, Tim Hall. I thought, how strange that is. They live at the other side of the world from each other. Me and Vaughan with our wives are at this conference and our two most influential best friends are getting the doctorate on the same night, standing well next to each other. And I'm thinking, I don't know about the whole doctorate thing. I'm slightly changing my mind because I could see with the heart of Rodney why he was doing that. It's besides the point. The point was that these guys, and I thought, wow, that's got to be of God. You think you just come along to Kingston just because it's something to do, and you find out you got all these connections that are ending up being worldwide. So it's has to be God. You have to believe in a God. But he saw into the realm of the Spirit, saw that he had faith to get well. You can do that, friend. You can go on the street and know who's meant to get saved. You can just see it. You can know who's going to get healed. You can just see it. You can either guess it and you'll hit and miss. But if you really see it, you'll see it. How do you train yourself to see it? You hunger for it. You ask God for it. You pursue love. Everything's got to be done out of love, as Vaughan was saying. But guys, you can do this. I can talk week after week and inspire you. But if you don't listen to what I say and take it in your lives and actually believe it's going to work out there in the marketplace, then all we're going to do is be telling you the same stuff and the same stuff and falling on deaf ears after a while. And having said that, I'm not saying none of you are putting into operation. But you need to take seriously these things. You people have really been exposed to some top-line ministry these last 9 months. And you will be for quite a while longer. And I mean that. Between Vaughan and myself, there's a lot of experience. And you don't usually get guys just hammering every week and opening up their hearts, sharing with you their failures, their mistakes, to let you see that you can be a real person and that God can restore you and you can be used by God and all this sort of thing. It's very rare. I've never got up here as a polished man of God. And some of you preachers who are rising, never say from the platform, you all the time, unless it's God speaking through in a word. Say we. You say you, you're putting yourself aside from the people and you get them off. And before long, even if you're talking from God, it'll be going over their heads. I learnt this years ago. The Holy Ghost said to me, when you're talking about any subject, include yourself in it. Like, you know, we here are going to be doing this. But a lot of preachers just say, you aren't doing this right, or you've got to do this. But really, we should be saying, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit's saying that we should be doing. And just by saying we, you've got to say you sometimes. So don't next time Vaughan or me say you. Think, you're wrong now. Because people will do that. Don't read into what we are saying. Just listen to what we are saying. You look so handsome tonight. And so that's just the way it is. He shaved his beard off. That's what I was meaning, folks. And so anyhow, you know, we got to be this way. They're just all little practical things and how we can become very effective men and women of God. But listen, see into the realm of the Spirit. And I believe you can do that tonight. There's an anointing here for it. But you just don't, just take what God's doing tonight and receive it for yourself. When you get an impartation, it's exactly what you get. You get an impartation, but God expects you to grow and do something with it. And I used to watch Benny Hinn on fast, long fast, old video. You remember the old videos? It seems so ancient now. Video recorder, 6 hours of all these miracles. Watch them. And all of a sudden, he'd go to pray for blind eyes, and it would captivate my spirit. And I'd rewind it, speaking in tongues, and rewind it and watch it, and rewind it and watch it. God, give me what he's got. God, give me what he's got. And I'd be imagining me doing it my crusades. I can do that, Lord. I know I can do it. I know there's anointing there. And boy, it would hit me. I'd sometimes watch one thing and rewind it. I broke the tape several times, I think. I had to make many more copies of the thing. And I would just watch it and watch it and watch it, and fasting and praying. And I'd go to my crusades and see exactly the same miracles. Thank God I didn't speak like him. I got a bit irritable with my musicians, though, just like he used to do. You're not playing in the spirit. Stop it. Except I'd say, I'm going to get there and do it myself. Sit down. I'm not going to move in the spirit till you get that child out the room, that stinking noise that's driving me up the wall. And I had this thing about straight lines. I said to the Holy Ghost one day, you must really like straightness. He says, no, but I've got to work with you, Smithy. That's what he said to me. Doesn't bother me one bit, but it bothers you, so you'll do what I tell you to do, so I'm not worried about a few of your little idiosyncrasies. Funny how he talks to you at times. And he calls me Smithy. I didn't say you could call me Smithy. Every time I say that, I suddenly have heaps of people calling me Smithy. Doesn't offend me, but he calls me that. I didn't say you could.